deep down, what I really felt, I just felt deep down in my soul, God's calling me to a deeper place of prayer so that I can know him better. The issue was I just didn't know how to do it.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life Tabernacle Church podcast. It's an honor to be with you today. This podcast serves as our church's weekly sermon archive. Tune in each week to hear what God is speaking in our community. Be sure to follow and share with a friend. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, Life Tabernacle Church. Pastor Dallas here. I just want to say good morning. I hope you are doing well. I hope you are warm. I hope you're in your favorite couch or your favorite chair, and you're sitting, drinking a glorious cup of coffee, God's favorite beverage, and hot chocolate or tea. Whatever your cup of tea is, I hope that you're enjoying it this morning while you're at home warm. This morning, I don't want to keep you long. Watching a video on Facebook can be a little hard, a little distracting. So I just want to keep this quick and really just begin to just stir your heart about prayer. Today, we're supposed to start a sermon series on the topic of prayer. We're going to go 4 weeks over the topic of prayer, kind of discovering what it is, what it's not, and how to do it. And this week, week one, we're supposed to tackle the topic of prayer, talking to God. Look at your neighbor, which is your spouse or your dog or your cat, and look at them and just simply say, talking to God. So that's all I want to do this morning, probably, 15 minutes, and then, you can go about your day, which is good. I'll keep this short so that we can have time to pray, right? You're going to be locked in your house with all the snow and ice, so you have plenty of time to pray, right? All right? All right, let's try to do that at least. And lastly, hear me very clearly when I say this. If you need anything while you are at home, for some reason, let me know or one of the board members know, and we will try our best to help you. I know the roads are going to be tough to be out on. I know it's nasty outside, but if there's anything we can do for you, just let us know, and we will try to make it happen. Okay, cool. So real quickly, let's get into God's word together, and let me just begin to stir your heart on the topic of prayer. So if you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and we'll read Luke 11 verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4 of Luke 11. This is what the word of the Lord says. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, or Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. My friend, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Help us to become people of prayer. Jesus, help us to simply pray like you. Today, Lord, would you just help us to learn how to talk to God better? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Every year, I look forward to going to church camp. Church camp was that time of the year where I got to go to Dublin, Virginia, to Camp Maranatha, and I got to just unload and to relax and just have fun. Church camp was certainly a place where you played lots of games, did weird challenges like eat peanut butter and jellies from someone's feet. I know, really gross, one of my core memories as a kid. It was just a place where you just had lots of fun and just made memories with your friends. And not only that, not only is church camp fun, it was a place of encounter, a place to meet with God. Every night we would have a wonderful service with a great speaker, with a wonderful worship team that helped just lead us into God's presence. We would hear God's word proclaimed in a way that made sense to us and that resonated with us. And then here came my favorite part. At the end of service, as the worship team begins to play, the pastor or the preacher would always make the offer, the invitation for us to come to the altar to seek God, to pray, right? And this was my favorite part. I remember every year I would like to try to be one of the first ones to the altar. I'd find my place, I'd get on my knees, and I would just begin to cry out to God. And inevitably, every year that I would do this, someone would lay their hands on me and begin to pray for me and begin to prophesy over me, begin to bless me. And that was one of my things I always remembered. I always just had that atmosphere of faith, of praying for one another, and great things happened. Another thing that happened for me is inevitably when I would just be crying out to God at the altar, I would be crying. Literally, it's like I saved all my tears every year. All this weeping would just come out of me at the altar, and it was just great. And unfortunately, though, I would measure the success of my prayer time based off on how many tears I shed or how many Kleenex I had to throw away when prayer was done. And then I will tell you a little secret. Sometimes I would pray so hard and I'd be so exhausted from church camp that week, I would fall asleep at the altar. You know, as a kid, I'm like, am I, you know, like falling asleep in the spirit? No, I think I was just falling asleep because I was tired. So it seems that I was more like the disciples than I thought, right? You know, as they fell asleep in the garden when Jesus told them to pray as well. But here's the thing, though, as I reflect on that wonderful time of my life, we would have these powerful times of prayer at the altar with, you know, 100 of your best friends who love Jesus, a great worship team, a great leader who's encouraging you and exhorting you to pray. The problem is when I would go home, I'd go back to my bedroom, I didn't have all those people there with me. I didn't have that wonderful worship team there with me. I didn't have that wonderful atmosphere of faith. And inevitably, my prayer life never looked the same as it did there. You know, I assumed that the type of prayer that I prayed there at the altar at church camp is what it had to be like all the time. That it always had this to be this intense time of intercession, of just crying out to God on behalf of yourself, on behalf of others. And for me, as I look back, I just kind of always felt disappointed and also just felt guilty that my prayer life never looked the same. And, you know, to be honest, as I look back, you know, I always knew, you know, even as I couldn't figure out how to make that prayer life happen at home. And unfortunately, though, sorry, let me pause. As I would go home, you know, I would feel bad that my prayer life doesn't look like it does at church camp. And that would make me feel guilty. It felt bad. It made me just kind of ask myself, am I doing something wrong? Am I a bad Christian? And obviously I wasn't. The problem was I really didn't know how to pray. I didn't really know how to do it. The type of prayer you do at church camp or the type of prayer you do around an altar or at a prayer meeting and those times of intense just crying out to God, intercession, those are just a part of a prayer life, a part of a good, healthy prayer life, but it's not the whole thing. You know, but even though as I reflect as a kid, feeling that tension, like I know it should be better than this and I know I should be praying more and all that, deep down what I really felt, I just felt deep down in my soul, God's calling me to a deeper place of prayer so that I can know Him better. The issue was I just didn't know how to do it. And I think that's probably most of our problem. All of us are that we know, all of us who know Jesus, we know that we should pray. Prayer was a big part of Jesus's life. Prayer has been a big part of the church. One of the main engines that's kept the church vibrant and running, if you will, for the past 2,000 years is prayer. And it's something that we all know that we ought to do every single day. I love what Paul said, that we should pray at all times, right? You know, we would love that. We would love to be able to have this type of prayer life where we are communing and fellowshipping with God at all times. The problem is it just doesn't happen. You know, and things just don't happen on accident, my friends. And so, you know, we can either do a few things. We can either just feel guilty and just beat ourselves over the head and then never grow in prayer, or we can just accept, hey, this is where we are. This is not where we want to be, but let's take steps forward so that we can grow in prayer, we can grow in power in prayer, and we can grow in our communion with God Himself. As I think about prayer, though, there's a few obstacles that I think all of us encounter when it comes to prayer and that make it difficult for us to pray. A couple of those things are, number one, maybe it can feel boring or flat. I don't know about you. Sometimes I've left prayer in my, you know, personal prayer or a corporate prayer meeting. I'm like, that was boring. That felt flat. I asked myself, God, did you really show up? God, did you really hear us? And I think those are questions and things that we all feel. Another thing that I know most of us feel when it comes to prayer is just simply being distracted or trying to stay focused, and prayer is hard. You know, I have 4 wonderful children and my house is not quiet. It is not the quiet place, I tell you that. And it's hard to pray sometimes. And so that makes it difficult to focus on prayer, not to mention these things right here, our cell phones. This is probably the greatest thing that is prohibiting us from having good prayer lives is our phones. They distract us, and we would rather scroll on our phone than pray. Or just being, you know, just too busy with our jobs and with our lives. And simply, we just don't make time for prayer because we're just too distracted, too busy, too focused on other things. And maybe the hardest thing of all, and maybe one of the reasons why we actually don't pray as we should, is because we've had disappointment in prayer. Perhaps you've prayed for a loved one to get well, to have healing, to get better from some disease, and it doesn't happen. God doesn't answer that prayer in the way you were asking him to. And then it just leads you down this deep, dark road of thinking, well, God, obviously, if he's a good God wouldn't let this happen. Why would I pray to him? Or you begin questioning your faith, like, well, does God really, is there really a God? Because he didn't come through for me on this time. Maybe he won't actually come through because he's not real. It can really send you down a dark, deep path. You can begin to spiral really quickly. And again, honestly, those are all great questions for us to ask. Point being, though, there's all these different factors that really just kind of lay into our inability to become a people of prayer. I think prayer for some of us who have been more, grew up in a more legalistic environment, prayer can feel, or any spiritual discipline for that matter, can just feel more like a chore, just another thing. And many of us will get up every morning and pray, but it's just a checklist thing. Oh, I prayed today. I can check that off. Oh, I read my word today. I can check that off. Oh, I did a good deed today. And you're just checking it off, and you're just doing these things that are good things, that are the right things to do, but you're not even doing them with the right heart, you know? And so many of us, all of us come from different areas and different directions into the topic of prayer. And those are all things that we have to be conscious of if we want to begin to really grow in prayer, begin talking with God and being with him and communing with him in prayer in a meaningful way. And I don't know about you, deep down underneath all these things for me, all these things that prohibit me from having the prayer life I really want, deep down again, I want to know God in prayer. And in such a special way. I'm so inspired by the lives of Jesus himself, the apostles in the early church that literally shook the early world that they were living in through prayer. I mean, can you imagine having a prayer meeting in a prison and literally everything begins to shake and the prison becomes unloosed? I mean, that's prayer, you know? When I also think of prayer, I think of the great Leonard Ravenhill. Leonard Ravenhill, it was a great man of God. He was a minister, teacher, writer, and he once said this on the topic of prayer, probably one of the most profound quotes that I've ever read on prayer. I want you to listen closely. Leonard Ravenhill said, "No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers, many singers, few clingers, lots of pastors, few wrestlers, many fears, few tears, much fashion, little passion, many interferers, few intercessors, many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere." Wow. He says, failing here in prayer, we fail everywhere. Charles Spurgeon once said that prayer is the lungs of the church. My friends, if we're not breathing, if we're not breathing in prayer, we're not communing with God in prayer, my friends, we're barely making it. Point being, as we kind of feel all this and think about all this, as you reflect on your own life, again, we all know prayer is important. We all know that we should do it, but how do we do it in a way consistently that's meaningful? More importantly, though, why should we do it? And maybe first of all, what is prayer in the first place? Prayer, most basically defined, is the following: communication with God. Simply that, communication with God. Any relationship that you have in your life with a spouse, with a friend, with a sibling, you have to communicate with them in order to have a relationship with them. If you don't communicate with your spouse, you're not going to have a real, deep, meaningful relationship with them. If you don't talk to them, if you don't spend time with them, if you don't do adult things with them, right, you're not going to have a deep, meaningful, intimate relationship with them. And the same goes with us and God. Prayer is communication. Prayer is how we commune with God. Prayer is how we fellowship with God. Prayer is how we get to know God, and God gets to know us even better. It's like a friendship. I love what the Bible says about Enoch in Genesis. It says that he walked with God. I love that language. He walked with God. It doesn't say prayer, but I know Enoch prayed, and that's the point. Prayer, in a way, is walking with God, as if he's right beside you at all times, and you're all the time communicating with him your thoughts and your feelings and your desires and your joys and your letdowns and your strengths, your weaknesses, all of it. It's to know God and to know him deeply, and it's for to let your heart just open to him. And prayer is that gateway that allows God to, it's that really, in a way, how we get and let God in on everything in our lives. Prayer, at the end of the day, is communication with God. Prayer is communion. Prayer is fellowship with God Almighty. Now, if you want a more formal definition of prayer, here it is from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. An offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. That's a more specific, if you will, formal definition. Point being, though, as you think about all those things together, prayer is communing and fellowshipping with God. That's really what prayer is. And there has been no man on earth better at this than Jesus himself. Yes, the apostles are great. Yes, Leonard Ravenhill was great. Early church fathers are great. And there's plenty of great people, but there's no greater authority on the topic of prayer than Jesus himself. That's why we're in Luke chapter 11 today. And we're going to go right there real quick, and let's just hop right back in there a few more minutes, and let's see how what Jesus can teach us about talking with God. In Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, Luke 11:1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Let's pause right there. Several times already in the book of Luke, Jesus has already been found praying. I love what it says in Luke 5:16. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus was a man of prayer who prayed often. If Jesus was not off in the lonely place in the wilderness praying, he was with people. And if he wasn't with people, he was in the lonely place praying. And the only reason, man, that's hard for me to say. One of the reasons why Jesus had such a powerful, dynamic life, someone being baptized in the Holy Spirit and had such great communion with the Father, the reason why he was able to do such great public acts, right, is because he was a man of prayer and he prayed. I love what Jesus said, that he only did what he saw the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, I do, right? Whatever I see the Father doing, I do. And I can only imagine all these great things that Jesus did, like teaching great sermons and healing the sick and opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears, all these great miracles and things he did. He first saw them from the Father in prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. And I love what Luke 11:1 says. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. If you needed a reason to pray, if you need your why, if you aren't already convinced that prayer is how we commune with God and get to know him, that is the avenue, and how we do that through his word too, yes, but primarily prayer is how we do that. Jesus himself prayed. And if Jesus is our leader, our rabbi, our Lord and Savior who said, follow me, then we must follow this example. And he says, Luke said Jesus was praying in a certain place. Therefore, that's what we need. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and we should be found praying in a certain place as well. It goes on to say, Luke 11:1, when he finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Very quickly here, his disciples, one of these disciples in particular, don't know who it was, notice this about Jesus' life, that he prayed often. He was able to make the connection that Jesus's dynamic, powerful public life that he lived was connected to the secret place. That Jesus's private prayer life that he did with God in the wilderness is what made his public life so dynamic. That's why the disciple doesn't ask, "Hey, Lord Jesus, would you teach us to raise the dead? Lord Jesus, would you teach us to teach the word like you do? Lord Jesus, would you do X, Y, Z?" No, no, no. He recognizes that if I can learn to pray like Jesus, I can be like him and do the things he does. So that's why he asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus doesn't hesitate. And you know what he says? He says to his disciples, he says this, and still in Luke, 1-4, he says, "When you pray, recite this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. The disciple asks a question, "Would you teach us to pray?" Jesus answers that question and says, "Yes, I can." And then he says to them, "When you pray, say this." I told you that week one of this prayer series is talking to God. And what Jesus does right here in Luke 11, you also find this prayer more elaborate prayer called the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, which is known as the Lord's Prayer, or our Catholic brothers and sisters call it Our Father, the Our Father prayer. Jesus says, "When you pray, say," meaning Jesus is teaching us first and foremost how to talk to God. He's saying, "Hey, if you want to talk to the Father, if you want to get to know God, if you want to do it, this is how you do it. Pray this way. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation." A few months ago, we went over the Lord's Prayer, so I'm not going to break down the Lord's Prayer for us here, but a couple things to really notice here is, number one, he says, "When you pray, say this." Jesus doesn't say, "When you pray, just pray whatever's on your heart." And sometimes that's good. But as my wife said, I was asking my wife, "Hey, what are some of the obstacles that you experience in prayer?" And one of the number one things she said, "Hey, sometimes I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to him." And I think a lot of us feel that. We know we should pray, but you're like, "I don't know what to say to God. There's so many things I could say. What if I say the wrong thing," right? And so what Jesus does here, and what I love about the scriptures, is that Jesus makes it very clear. He says, "When you pray, say this," or recite this. And then he gives us his pre-made prayer that he prays himself. And so one of the number one ways that we can learn how to pray like Jesus and to become like him, one of the number one ways we can learn how to talk with God is to pray pre-made prayers. When I say pre-made prayers, I'm talking about prayers out of the scripture or out of somewhere in church history. So very simply in this prayer, the prayer is addressed to the Father. You're praying, he says, "Father," or "Our Father who art in heaven." So you're very simply, you want to pray with the Father? Pray this way. And yes, of course, this doesn't mean we can only pray these pre-made prayers. Of course, we can learn to grow in prayer, and we can learn how to pray out of what's in our hearts and our spirits as well. This is natural for all of us. We can learn how to tell God what we're going through, what we need in life, big decisions that are coming up, someone who's sick, etc. We get that idea. But for some of us, and for some of us who have a hard time or our minds are full, or like my wife and I who got lots of kids going around, there's lots of stuff going around, and or you're one of those people who don't want to do it wrong, a good place to start talking to God is praying pre-made prayers. There's nothing wrong with them. And actually, what's interesting is that the Bible's full of them. More specifically, the book of Psalms. The Psalter, all 150 Psalms that we have in the Old Testament, what they are pre-made prayers to be prayed back to God. And so, yes, the Psalms are great poetry to read, but really what they are, they're prayers that church history and people for thousands of years have just prayed back to God. So, for example, yes, you can pray the Our Father prayer. It's a great prayer to pray, and we should pray it. We should pray it often. Dallas Willard once said that this is how he starts every day of his life. He would pray Our Father, he would pray the Our Father prayer, and then he would pray this prayer out of the Psalms, Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I lack, right? And he would pray through Psalm 23. And so, let me pull up a few more notes, and then let's wrap this up together. So look, Jesus, very simply, he's asked, hey, teach us to pray. Jesus says, you got it. Pray this prayer. You start praying this prayer, you're going to begin to learn how to pray. And Jesus teaches his disciples, hey, pray this pre-made prayer that I pray to the Father, and it's going to begin teaching you how to talk to God. So that's how you begin to pray. So you don't know what to pray or how to pray. This is how I want you to do it this week. And again, like I said, like it snowed and you have plenty of time to pray, right? So this is what I want you to do this week. As we're learning to grow deeper in prayer, as we're learning how to pray like Jesus, this is how I want you to talk to God this week. Talking to God, week one, ready? I want you to find a place and a time, and I want you to pray some pre-made prayer to God. So for example, let's say your best time of the day is in the morning. Right when you get up, you grab your cup of coffee, you sit down in your favorite armchair, it's nice and quiet, you find a quiet place just to be with God. You sit down in that place, Monday morning, tomorrow morning, you grab your coffee, 6 a.m., and I want you to do one of the following. I want you to either pray the Lord's Prayer, right? Open up here to Luke 11, and I want you to read this prayer and make it your prayer. Or I want you to pray something out of the Psalms. The Psalms are full of different prayers, prayers of great joy and prayers of great despair. And perhaps you just start in Psalm 1 or Psalm 23. Start with the Psalm that you know. And I just want you to take that in that place, in that time, and I want you to just take that pre-made prayer and I want you to pray it to God, very simply, right? So you can either do the Lord's Prayer, you can do the Psalms, you can just do Scripture itself. I mean, you can open up to somewhere else in Scripture and you can pray through that passage. Another way we can pray is by singing one of your favorite hymns or one of your favorite worship songs. This is a form of prayer. One of the things I love to do, as much as these are distracting, I have this wonderful app called Lectio 365. It's a prayer app. And what it does is I download it, and every day they have a different set of prayers that I can pray. And I work through it, and it helps me start my day by praying and communing and fellowshipping with God, primarily through talking to Him first. So look, a few more things as we break this down. Look, so we all want a prayer life that is powerful. We all know prayer is important to our lives. Most of us just don't know how to do it. And here's the thing. We don't need to just think about, hey, how can we move the mountains, right? How can we move mountains in prayer? Let's get there in a little bit. What I want us to start with is simply this, what Jesus taught us to do. When asked, hey, how do you pray? Hey, can you teach us to pray? Jesus says, easy. Pray this way, Our Father. So all the prayers, all these pre-made prayers that we're going to pray this week as we find a place and a time, okay? I just want you to take a pre-made prayer. I want you to pray it to God. So again, let's say it's tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., you got your coffee. I want you to sit down, and I want you to pray the Lord's Prayer. You just say, Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, as I talk to you, you know, open up my heart to you. Listen to this, Lord. And then you just pray the Lord's Prayer to Him. Now, you can just recite it straight to Him and be done, or you can do something like this. You can be more meditative, and you can say, Our Father. You can just sit for a moment. You can think about that. Our Father. And Our Father. Wow. You're a good Father. You're my Father. Wow. I'm your son or daughter. I've went from death to life. I've been grafted into your family, into your glorious King. Wow. You're our Father. Wow. Lord, I had a, you know, for some of you, you can say, man, you can begin to think, I had a bad father. But you're a good Father. And so that's the way you can begin to pray through this. And you can begin to just talk to God through these things. So that this is your homework this week. As we begin to wrap this message up really quickly, I want you to talk to God. And I want you to find a pre-made prayer and talk to Him. Pray the Lord's Prayer to him. Pray one of the Psalms out of the book of the Psalms to him. Pray some other aspect of scripture itself, or just sing to him during the week. I love what St. Augustine said. He said, to sing is to pray twice. We're praying, you know, we're singing, we're praying words, but we're also praying with our spirit in a different way. Or perhaps, if you don't mind, you can get Lectio 365 on your phone, and you can use that for prayer. Last word of encouragement as we think about this topic of prayer, okay? Just start where you are, not where you want to be. Don't try to pray for an hour tomorrow morning. Do not try to pray for 2 hours tomorrow morning. If you feel like you're immature in prayer, you feel like you have a hard time praying, I want you to pray. What if you just pray tomorrow for 1 minute? You just be able to pray to God for 1 minute, or just 5 minutes. Start at 1 minute and 5 minutes and do that consistently, and then we can grow from there, right? We don't need to worry about, hey, I'm not as good as I need to be. None of us are. Let's just start where we are and make small steps forward so that we can grow in prayer, grow in deeper fellowship with God, grow in greater communion with our Lord and Savior, and grow in power and grow in faith in our prayer, right? Yes, we want to do all the powerful things in prayer. That comes later. Let's just start at the most important part. We want to fellowship with God. Let's fellowship with him this week through talking to him, through a pre-made prayer from his word. Obviously, you're not limited to that. You can talk to God about whatever you're going through in your life. Point is, this week, I want you to find a place and find a time, and I want you to either pray a pre-made prayer, or if you're more advanced, right, pray whatever, you know, how you would pray. But find a place, find a time, and pray that prayer this week. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that, you know, even though it's cold outside, Lord, we feel warm in our spirits. We're just reminded that you're with us. God, we're not where we want to be in prayer, but we want to move closer towards the goal of becoming like you in prayer. Lord, it was said of you that you frequently withdrew to lonely places to pray, and we want to do the same thing. So Lord, just help us, teach us to pray. Lord, help our congregation, help everybody who's listening to this, just pray and talk to you this week. Lord, we love and thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. I just want to say I love you, praying for you. Thank you for hopping on here this morning, and stay warm and find a place to pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer, pray a psalm, whatever. Just pray to God, talk to God this week. He wants to hear you. My friends, I love you. We'll see you soon.